Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 12. We'll get there momentarily. Ronald Reagan, one of the great presidents of the United States, in my opinion, had some great words of inspiration. He said, "The 4th of July is perhaps America's best known holiday commemorating the country's declaration of independence from Britain." The following essay was written by a great patriot in the 1800s. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to skip to the last paragraph of thought that says, "The old Continentals, as they were called, fought the battles of the state with Bibles in their knapsacks. They studied the military genius of Moses by the light of their campfires. They sang the Psalms of David while cannon boomed the accompaniment. They knelt at the throne of God in the hour of darkness, and they crowned his altar with thanksgiving in the day of triumph. When the clouds were thickest and all hearts were sore, when the treasury was empty and the harsh appearance of disaster was knocking at the gateway, Congress ordered an appropriation, not only for the purchase of gunpowder, but also for the importation of 20,000 copies of the scriptures." These pioneer spirits were masters of a profound diplomacy. They knew that no American should ever forget that Bible truth is the sort of ammunition most effective in the vindication of national honor. Amen. The Pilgrim Fathers feared none but God, so all their foes feared them. Amen. That is what a great truth of Scripture is for us, and a great insight into what took place in the victory there over Britain. We're commanded in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." The word quit means to act. "Act like men, be strong." How are we to be strong? How are we to stand fast when our faith is under attack? And the answer is by knowing Bible truth and adhering to it. That's the way that we have victory. That's the way that we can be strong and stand fast. Bible truth is the sword of ammunition most effective but in standing for national honor, and most effective in standing for God's honor, the faith. That is so much important for us to understand. But I remind you, as I have so often over the years, you can't stand on what you don't know. We've got to know the Bible truth in order to stand. We've got to know the Bible truth in order to recognize what's right from wrong. We sang this morning, "God Bless America." The young ladies also had a portion of their song that had those lyrics in it. And we are blessed. We're blessed economically, financially, in our country, not just in our government, but us as the population. You know that compared to the rest of this world, even some of the most poorest of people in the United States are rich by their estimation. You see, we have so much that's been given to us. And because we're used to having it, we sometimes forget how precious it is and how that not everyone has that. We've been blessed in our military. We've been blessed in our technology. You know that the ease of living today in our society is so much easier than those that fought for our liberties back in the day. If we were thrown back into that day where you couldn't run to the grocery store every day if you had a need, you couldn't run down to the bank, the ATM, of course, not too many people do that because they don't use cash anymore. All of these things that we have today that makes life so easy, that sometimes we think, oh, it's hard, but compared to the way they used to have to do it, we've been blessed. Even politically, we may look at some of our leaders and say we disagree with where they stand, but comparing the leadership of our country even today compared to most countries in this world, we are an example to them how it should be done. We are in danger of losing some of that if we don't stand. Vicki and I were talking about, she asked the question, says, what can we do as American individuals today to preserve our freedoms, to take the stand that we should? And of course, one of the things very obvious is that we ought to vote at every opportunity. Do you know that if every American Christian were to get out to vote, we would have different results in the election? It would definitely be true. And yet we have some Christians that stay home and say, you know, my vote ain't going to make any difference. Whatever it is they have as a reason. But if we're going to take our stand, we need to cast our vote. You can always run for office. Vicki said, I don't think anybody would vote for me. She's talking about herself. Not that anybody would vote for me either. But at the same time, we have responsibilities that we are to be an example in this world of what a Christian is. The light and salt, as Brother Ben preached here just recently. And so we have this blessed America that we live in, the greatest country in the world, and we are so and should be so thankful for what God has done in blessing America. There are many other blessings that we can look at this morning, but this morning I want us to see four basic reasons why God blessed America. Four basic reasons why God blessed America. And these coincide with our personal areas of application as well, as it speaks to us. So I've entitled the message today, Why Did God Bless America? Father, I pray that as we look into your word, as we look into these reasons, that we would see your heart, your hand at work, that we would understand how you want to work in the same way in our individual lives, that our faith and stand in with you would be one, Lord, that you would be well pleased with. And Father, I pray that that would be our desire as we leave out of here today, that we have pleased you, we have met with you. Lord, you've made it clear that without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, strengthen our faith today. Strengthen our resolve today to take a stand for you as we should. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want us to see that God blessed America for her foundation. Her foundation. America was founded on the written word of God. Her laws, her government, her leaders, and their hearts were men and women of faith. These men had testimonies of their great faith in God. Many of the founding fathers have testimonies of their personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our history books are trying to say these days that these founding fathers were just deists. They were not believers in Jesus Christ. They didn't have a personal relationship with him. But there's something else that's true. Vicki and I were watching a podcast or something that was given. It was taken out of some of the research that David Barton has done with wall builders. And it was talking about the historical proof of where and who our founding fathers trusted in and believed in. And it came from the fact that they were tremendous writers. You know, back in those days, believe it or not, they didn't have cell phones to text each other with. They couldn't tweet. They couldn't do any of those things. They actually took pen and paper and wrote out letters to their wife or to others. And those letters are called what we call hard copies. And those letters have been preserved, and you can read those letters today and see what they believed. And they believed not just in God as a deist, but they believed in the Trinity. They believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. They believed that salvation was only through faith in Jesus Christ. Many, not all, but many, if not most, of our founding fathers had that testimony in their lives. They were the founders of our country, and they themselves had their foundation tied to the Word of God and to the God of the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In application to us, then, we are to have our lives founded in the Word of God. The living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word of God, which is all about Him. We are to have our lives founded in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." As the living Word, He brought salvation unto us. As the written Word, He brings the principles for us to live by on a day-to-day basis. It is what we are to have as the foundation of our life. The closer America stays to the principles of God's Word, the more blessed it will remain. That's why it's important that when we vote for men and women who stand the closest to the principles of God's Word. They may not be perfect, but they sure may be better than what's left. We are to stand with the principles of God's Word. And the more we do that as in the country, the more blessed that we're going to be as a country, and the more that we do that individually, the more blessed that we're going to be individually. It is true of us. God blessed America for her foundation. Secondly, God blessed America for her association. America's association with the Jews. That's why I had you turn here in Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read just verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, this is the Abrahamic covenant. God says, "There I will make thee a great nation," talking about with Abraham and then all of his seed, the Jewish nation. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Just in that verse alone, is there any country in the world that does not recognize Israel? They may not like Israel. They may even try to be at war with Israel, but they know who Israel is. Israel's name has been made great. God has blessed them. Even as a small nation, they have the power to defend themselves. And if they ever turn loose, mark it down. God is going to show how strong they are. But notice the next verse. He says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now that last statement, all families of the earth will be blessed, is because Jesus Christ came out of Israel. He was a Jew. Our Savior for all of the world was a Jew. And so salvation, the blessing of salvation came out of God's prediction here. But notice the first part. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will bless the country that blesses Israel, that stands with Israel, that supports Israel. America has been blessed because our history, we have stood with Israel. Amen. We have defended with Israel. We have sought to be a blessing unto Israel. And God, in turn, has been a blessing to America. Amen. The day that America turns her back upon Israel is a sad day, because it will be an end of God blessing America because of our association with her. God has given us a great nation because of its association. In applying to us in this, I believe the proper association that we should have as believers ought to be with other believers, with other Christians. We see it introduced to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here, I believe, is starting out and giving us a picture of the New Testament church that is being started. And it says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know that we're doing every part of that verse this morning. The doctrine of the scriptures, fellowship of the saints, the breaking of bread as we observe the Lord's Supper at the end of the close of the service, and in prayers. It's great to be a part. But the emphasis I make with this is in fellowship. They showed the way that as believers we ought to be gathering, and one of the purposes is for our fellowship with other believers, those others that are standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was exemplified by King David in Psalm 119, verse 63, where he said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. An attitude and a response. The attitude there was of fear. One that had a great respect for the Lord, a reverence for him, and that keep thy precepts. The response to the Word of God. Not just knowing the truth, but being obedient to those things in which we have read. And then the warning comes in 2 Corinthians 6:14, where the Apostle Paul wrote, says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What do we have in common? What do we have in fellowship with the saved and the not saved? Well, we can befriend them, and we should. We can be kind to them, and we should. We can do things for them, and we should. But that doesn't mean that they are our best friends. Because best friends have a way of influencing us. And God warns, he says, don't let the lost world be an influence to you in that close contact. We are to be in fellowship with God's people. We're to stand with those that stand for the Lord. I believe it is summarized in Proverbs 13:20 that I even read out of this morning. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We ought to make sure that we're walking and are influenced by those that are wise. And we ought to seek to be wise to those that walk with us. So we see that America is blessed for her foundation and for her association. Thirdly, God blessed America for her preservation. America preserves the right to worship God freely. Our First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, Congress in the First Amendment says that the state, the government, shall not make any religion a state religion. That you have got to worship this religion if you're going to be an American. And it shall not have anything to do with regulating, excuse me, the worship of God in that in any religion. We ought to have the freedom. So there is a such thing as separation of church and state, but it's only a one-way direction. It's the separation of the state saying, keep your hands off of the church. Amen. Keep your hands out of religion. But we know it is not meant to be the other way, because our founding fathers were believers. Amen. Our founding fathers brought the Bible and its principles to bear to govern our nation, to determine what is right and wrong. Woe unto those that call evil good and good evil. We are a country that is getting confused, and not just with gender, but confused with so many things that they are calling good and okay. But those that are standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are holding up his principles and his word, they look at as evil, the enemy, and they are against. In application to us, in order to preserve the right to worship free, we need to exercise the right to worship free. You've heard the statement before, use it or lose it. I think that's true also when it comes to us as believers exercising our freedom, our right to meet together such as this and to worship the Lord. We're still missing some that are not worshiping. And can I say just for a moment, very frankly, at what point do we start listening to other people say, well, wait a minute, getting your groceries, that is important. Going to the doctor, that's important. Going out to eat every once in a while, you know, you need to reward yourself some there, that's important. Going to ball game, I mean, you know, they've opened those back up, that's important. But going to church, well, you know, I don't think you ought to get into a crowd. Yeah. Last time I looked, the restaurant was crowded, ball game was crowded, Walmart was even crowded. Who are we listening to? I know that there's some folks that are very susceptible to illness, okay? Now, I'm not speaking about them. But it seemed like that there's some that have one excuse after the other why they shouldn't come to church. Some I'm not surprised at. Some I'm very surprised at. And the point is that we as believers need to exercise our freedom to worship the Lord. We need to do like in Hebrews chapter 10 that it says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We know the coming of the Lord is closer and could happen in any moment. And therefore, we ought to be in his church. We ought to be encouraging one another. God bless America for her preservation. And then last, God bless America for her direction. What determined the direction that America would follow? What established the right and wrong that we spoke of a while ago? In making our governing laws, who or what determined what was right and what was wrong? What determined what not to do in our nation? They have a law against it. And the answer is, I hope you all know, is this Bible right here.
Amen.
It is what our founding fathers had in mind when they wrote out our laws, when they designed our Constitution. Our direction should be Bible guided as well.
Amen.
If we are to walk in fellowship with God, in agreement with God, then we need to be following His lead. Amos 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we be in fellowship with God, walk together with Him, if I'm not in agreement with Him? And it's not this road direction. Lord, this is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what I'm doing. How about agreeing with me? Is this okay? But Lord, what do you want me to believe? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? I'll agree with what you say. I surrender all. Because all to Him I owe.
Amen.
Agreeing on the same goal, the same purpose, the same direction as God, using the same methods of what He would say, and agreeing upon His timing. In His time, He maketh all things beautiful. Do you trust Him? Agreeing with God. Our lives should be Bible guided. How do we get the mind of God in our life to be guided by it? Again, the answer is right here in the Word. The mind of Christ. It's all about Him. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We find His mind right here in Scripture. Bible guided as well. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, guide me through Your word. Help me to listen and to surrender to what You want, what You reveal. You know, it's been said that America is great, and we could put the word blessed in the place of great. America is great, America is blessed because America is good. Has a godly foundation, a godly association, a godly preservation, a godly direction. When America stops being good, America will stop being great, stop being blessed. We're seeing more and more of America stepping away from God and His Word. And we're not totally surprised. God says that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that we are the salt of the earth that preserves. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us helps us in that capacity. But one day when the rapture takes place, and the believer is taken out of here, and the Holy Spirit's influence through the believer is removed because the believer is removed. It says then in Thessalonians, the man of sin will be revealed. I like to look at it this way. As believers, we have a responsibility by the way that we live, of what we believe and how we stand on it, we're kind of like at the ocean, seeking to hold back the wave. Well, it's kind of impossible, isn't it? But if we could put it on a small scale and put it in a bathtub and have a board there that we could push the water back, we can hold it back. And I mean, it's going to get by it some here and there. But you take the board out, and it's the wave you're going to come in. Our responsibility right now is to hold the board, to do it faithfully in what we believe and how we behave. God bless America for her direction, her preservation, for her association, and for her foundation. We have the responsibility to stand with God. But even more importantly, since our lives coincide with all of these truths, the Christian is blessed because the Christian is good, doing God's will, God's way, for God's glory. And when the Christian stops being good, the Christian will stop being blessed. That's us individually. Are you doing what you know God wants you to do? Jesus said in John 13, verse 17, if you know these things, happy, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, blessed, happy are you if you do them. Every head bowed, please. We celebrate today, and rightly so, this great country in which we live, the freedoms that we enjoy, even though they may be slipping. But as we have looked this morning at the truth that individually we are responsible to live for the Lord, to represent Him here in this world. Is there something that impedes us? And the answer is yes. And that something is sin. And there are two things I want to close with as your heads are bowed and just thinking about this. One is the question, have you been missing God's blessings because of original sin? That is, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from being a lost sinner. I hope that every one of you has a testimony that can say with confidence, Pastor, I know that I have placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if I were to die today, I believe with all my heart that I would be in His heaven because of what His Word says to me. If you cannot have and do not have that confidence, then why not make sure of it today? In just a moment, I'll give you an opportunity to come forward and we'll have someone take you aside, explain how you can make sure of that. But my next question is to each one of us individually that are saved. Have you been missing God's blessings because of daily sin? The scripture says that we need then to repent and confess that unto Him for restoration. Then start back walking with God, seeking to always please Him. Are you willing, believer, to do that? Not a one of us can say, Pastor, I have never been struggling with sin over the past few weeks or months. But every one of us would have to admit, possibly even over the past few hours, there's been a struggle. Maybe in an argument, attitude, a choice. Would you right now surrender that to Him? Father, I pray that as we close the service of this message, that you would allow our hearts to respond to you in such a way that you would be well pleased. Lord, help us not to leave anything undealt with. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.